Did I send the kids out? Okay. You need to remind me of these things today. I'm not at my best. It is good to have Steve and Ed this morning, and I really enjoyed their visit because this is really the first time I feel like I've had a chance to get to know them beyond just a, it's good to have you with us today. And appreciated Steve, his desire to ride in a car all the way up to Browns Valley to visit and then come back. And it was fun. We got to swap stories. We're both ministry kids, and a lot of parallels and a lot of fun. But above all, a lot of encouragement. So Steve, would you please come and share the work of the Word.
So many memories, and to see some of you that have been here a long time, I can hear myself now. It's great to see you. I haven't seen all of you this morning, because hopefully after the service, and we'll be here a few more days. If you'd like to connect with us, just let us know. We'll find a time we can spend some time together. We've been here in this area a couple weeks. And this is our last Sunday here in the valley, and then we head back to New Mexico. But it is great to be back, and I want to say right up front, I want to say a huge thank you for your faithfulness over 27 years since we've been missionaries on the field in New Mexico at Broken Arrow Bible Ranch. And thank you for your faithfulness as a church over the years. And I'd like to give you an update a little bit and preach the word just a little bit. I hope we can be an encouragement. And I want to see how many of you were here back in the day when we were here, when I was here at the church. There's a few of you. Okay, you're the ones I know really well. It's been a long time, but it's good to be back. We were married in this church 30 years next summer, in the gym right before this building was built. And we couldn't wait for this building to be finished to be married. So we were married over there, and this church rallied behind us and just did so much for us. I was here as the youth pastor and intern with Pastor John Best back in the day, Dick Mannion at first, and 4 years spent here in this town, little town back then of Galt. Now it's a little bigger, but some things have changed. And one thing that's changed is many of you are new. Of course, churches change. Over 30 years, it has to change. And we'd like to get to know some of you new ones. New meaning the last 30 years you've come, or 10 years, or 5 years.
And so hopefully we can connect a little bit.
Dick and Martha Knox, that were supported by this church, by Galt Bible Church, when I was a missionary kid in the Middle East and grew up in the countries of Lebanon and Cyprus. And my dad came to Galt Bible Church and Grace Church of Lockford when Mattingly was there, way back in 1970. We were on furlough, and my dad took this trip west. And he stopped here and spoke, and this church, Galt Bible Church, took on my mom and dad as missionaries. And so, if you are part of the old school, you've been here a long time, you know that. But for you newer ones, for years, you prayed for us, prayed for me and my older brother and sister as we grew up on the mission field as MKs. And then, when I was in my 20s, kind of early 20s, I wanted to travel some. I went back to visit my parents, and a man named Bob Jeffcott, Dr. Bob Jeffcott, was visiting. He invited me out to Sacramento to work at the mission, and it was Dick Mannion that invited me here to this church one Sunday night to give a report to share about the work in the Middle East, and I had just come back from a trip to see my parents. And so that was the beginning of my exposure here at Galt Bible Church. And that was in 1985, 6, 7, 8, we were here. So 85. And this church just opened their arms to us. I will never forget the warmth and the way you treated me as family. And I ate in many homes, and Pastor Best, he would kind of hook me up with all these different folks, and I pretty much did whatever was needed to be done. I mowed grass out here in the ball field, and kind of welded that backstop together. I think it was Dick Garrett that was here, and the soccer goals, and I was a coach. We got the school involved in a league, and I would lead that. And I also helped with the youth, and we started taking the youth of this church on mission trips. And one of the trips we went on was to Indian country, it was Utah, right in the Four Corner area. That was my first exposure, really, to Navajo people and Native America, and we had a vacation Bible school, and we got stuck. That was 30 years ago or so, and we heard about a camp called Broken Arrow Bible Ranch. And the camp at that time did not have a director, and the missionary that we were with, he said, "That camp, it has so much potential." The word camp stuck in my head, and potential stuck in my head. And I've always loved camping. My mom and dad were involved in camps in the Middle East. And so I worked at my uncle's camp in Georgia and another camp here and there. And so Ann and I, we traveled down to, her mom and dad had moved, the Lovelaces. They had moved to Montana. And we traveled down and took a month to just pray and look things over and see if God would have us there. And the way God orchestrated everything, he led us there. And after all these years, I have no regrets. The Lord has been so good to us through 27 years of being there. Through hardships, yes, great times and blessings, 2 children, Matthew and Holly. And if you want our prayer card, they're not the newest, but they still work. You can put them on your dartboard. No, I'm just kidding. But there's some in the foyer in the back there. And just grab one and pray for us. But there you can see Matthew and Holly, our children. And Matthew we saw down in Southern California. He's working there. And he's actually this weekend, a girl came to visit that worked at our camp as a counselor this summer, Courtney Paiva. It was George Paiva that taught in the Christian school here for a time and went to Sacramento Bible Institute back in the day, and Kim and Ann would sing in the chorale, and they traveled actually to Broken Arrow Bible Ranch way back before I ever went there. So their daughter Courtney is Matthew's girlfriend. So they're praying about what God would lead them to do. In their relationship, and that's pretty exciting. It was good to see Matthew. He's 23, and our daughter is Holly, and she's back home, and she's doing great. She's at the branch. University of New Mexico branch is in Gallup, and she's going to school, and she's changed her major to hearing and speech sciences. So she's going to move through school for a while. You have to have a master's in that one. But she's good at it. She works hard, and we're proud of her. So I know they both wish they were here. And someone else I know that you know, a lot of you do, is Paul and Sarah Kuntz. Paul was the one that gave me the first tour of Broken Arrow Bible Ranch. When we got there, he was just a boy. About 10 years old, and he was climbing these big ponderosa pine trees. And so he said, "I'll show you the camp." And we went all over running around, and it was Paul that This past summer was our speaker for our one of our teen weeks in July. And the Lord used him in a special way to about 150 teens we had that week at camp. And he's pastoring at Native Bible Fellowship. But I know this church supports them. And so there's lots of connections here. And just wanted, if you're new, if you don't know all this, I just wanted to give you a kind of a backdrop. The past 4 years have been kind of busy. We haven't been here in 6 years. I think it's six. It's been too long. But there's been some changes. My mom and dad are now promoted to heaven. And so first my dad, he had cancer and kind of went through some hurdles. And then my mom had lung cancer. And you don't have to smoke cigarettes to get lung cancer. I think she went through some tough times, but is now with the Lord. And so I went back to South Carolina. They were living there and spent time with her. My sister was there as well. My brother, who's been a missionary in Japan, he also came when my dad passed away 2 years ago. So we kind of were focused that direction in the past few years and not the West. So it's good to come back here and reconnect. And that's what we've been doing. We saw Ann's brother, Paul, and his children last night and other friends that Ann had when she was in school at Lodi High and lived out just out here with horses and just kind of reconnecting. It's been a really good time. And so here we are. This is our last Sunday at Galt Bible Church and in the Valley. And we head back on Thursday. It's kind of the plan to drive back one long trip, 14, 15 hours. And then this coming weekend, we have a retreat. It's called the Word of Life. It's not with Word of Life in Scroon Lake, New York. It's just an organization where Navajo families and people get together and are encouraged on the Word of Life, the Bible. And we have speakers that come, and that's being hosted at Broken Arrow Bible Ranch. So Ann's going to be cooking. I'll be doing dishes and connecting with people. And we'll be back in the trench, you might say, through this fall and winter and spring. It's a year-round camp. A lot of people think, oh, okay, it's just a summer camp. Well, things are going on all the time, all year round. And praise God for what He has done over these years. We've seen, just as a glimpse, we've seen an average of about 900 campers in the summer that come, spaced out in 8 weeks. We have a staff training week. We've seen the staff of Broken Arrow Bible Ranch, which represent about 40 to 45 workers that come as counselors and operational staff. We call wranglers. And a couple of you were there, those that are really smiling, back in the day when Tim Morris and Tim Smith and those guys, they used to bring a team from here. And maybe someday that can happen again. If you can, even a work team, if you want to just come and you don't have to be pushed into long, hard working days, unless you want to, you can go see some of the sites around us and just visit us any time of the year. The best time would be the fall, probably after summer camp, unless you want to work at summer camp. We always need cooks and a nurse and maintenance help, and we can get you plugged in. But it's also a time we can't visit a whole lot because we're so, so busy. Spring is a busy time too. We have a lot of teams that come and work and prepare the camp and retreats. And December is a busy time as well. But we've had teams from here over the years. And if you want to reconnect that way, maybe we can get your pastor to come and speak. And that would be a way in, back in again. But we have been blessed. We have seen many campers and many in different groups and settings at the camp grow in their walk with God, in their faith, in salvation, in discipleship, and reconnect in their churches and lead in churches. And just to praise the Lord with me, and I don't say this at all to brag, but we have over recent years had more staff than we could handle. And more than half of those staff were once campers. And they came back, and they came back, and they grew in the Lord, and they wanted to work and serve. And that's exciting. A lot of those staff worked the previous summer. We have a high return rate. That's a wonderful thing as well. And we have people that are connecting with them in the area. One young man, his name is Ty Platero. He's been our program director the past three summers. He's a Navajo young man. He's 22. And he has a Bible study with the college and career group in Gallup, New Mexico, called The Rampart. And they meet together, and they go through a book. They just take a book. Last year it was Ephesians, and just go through it and grow and connect. And these things are happening. I have also a family we live right next to at the camp, Dino and Nanette Butler. They have two boys. And Dino and Nanette are lead counselors. They get with all the staff, and we all connect as mentors, and we pray together and encourage each other. And I praise God for Dino and Nanette. I think Dino was here at Galt Bible Church maybe 10 years ago or so, but they're still there. We serve together and praise God for that. And then, of course, Paul Kuntz's mom, Ann Kuntz, she's still there, and I praise God that she does administration. She answers the phone. We have another lady that does as well, but she kind of coordinates things. And so when we're away, we just kind of tag team, and I praise God for Ann Kuntz, who's been there longer than us and serves faithfully. And then we have a number of other missionary staff. We have a new one that just came, Anna Gabriel, and she's working with Ann quite a bit at Horses. It's a great place to work. And also at a Bible study. We have several Bible studies. We work in schools. Some of the schools out there are boarding schools still because the homes are dysfunctional, and the kids, to get them to school, they have to go to boarding school. And so one of them is at Fort Wingate, which is just to the east of Gallup. Another Bible study is at Oakview Bible Church, which is just to the west of Broken Arrow Bible Ranch, 10 miles. We pick up kids on Tuesday. Anna Gabriel, Anna Farrow is another. She does the follow-up program there at the camp. And we all go and pick up kids, and we gather at Oakview Bible Church. And that's what I want to hinge my message on, actually, what we're doing, what we teach, and why we teach it at that Bible study on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock in the evening. And these are kids that they know nothing about the Bible. So where do you begin? That's a good question. Well, John 3:16 is a good place to begin, right? In fact, I work in Sparks on Wednesday night, and Ann does too. And Sparks is Awana. It's the kindergarten, first and second grade. I never thought I'd be doing the little ones, but they had a need. Somehow they roped me into it, and I've loved it ever since. And their key verse, who works with Awana here? I was here Wednesday night a couple weeks. Okay. So a number of you. Wonderful program. And the Sparks key verse is John 3:16. And so for them to become a clubber, and that's the old school Awana program, which you wear a vest and you have a handbag with a book and you go through the book and you learn scripture. Awesome. The first verse is John 3:16. For God, and we could say it here. But the kids we're working with at Oakview Bible Church, the Navajo kids, not that they're Navajo, but they really don't understand who God is. So if you start out, for God so loved, they don't understand what God's love is. They don't understand their sin. Like, if we read the Bible a lot, we understand it better. And on it goes. You assume so much with John 3:16. Probably my favorite verse of the Bible, because the gospel's in it so clear. But where do we begin? And that's what I'd like for us to look at. So if you'll... The reading of the word was actually a section that I wasn't going to read. So good. That's great. We'll read the other parts around it. In Luke, so if you take your Bibles, let's look at Luke chapter 24, and we'll look at the kind of the context of that passage and how it fits in. And I'll come back to something here that It's been on my heart, recent years especially. But let's just pause for a moment and pray. Just ask God's blessing here. We just thank you, Lord, that you are with us and that your Spirit guides us as we take every breath and every step. I thank you that we can worship you today here at Galt Bible Church together. What a privilege. Thank you for this church and its support and its prayers for us. Thank you that we can partner together. And I thank you for your word, that it is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path, that you haven't left us in the dark, that you guide us. So speak through your word by your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I don't have too long. Pastor Aaron Graves said I have till 12-ish? No, I'm kidding. No, 11:15 or so. So I'll try to be concise with this. But I would like to read the verses surrounding this story that it was partially read. And we know the story takes place after the resurrection of Jesus. His death, burial, resurrection is all talked about, and he is risen. But this is really the story of the two on the road to Emmaus. Emmaus was not far from Jerusalem. There are these two walking along, and let's dive in. Let's just read it, and then we'll take something from it, I pray. We'll start with verse 13. This is Luke 24:13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said, and I won't read the next few verses, but he's just talking about the events that had just taken place. And they really didn't believe that Jesus actually was alive. They were focused on his death. But they had heard some rumors, and they were just walking, talking about all these things. But it says, the thing that I'd like to point out is verse 16, their eyes were restrained. Or that's just a way of putting the fact that they didn't understand. They just didn't understand what had been going on, even though Jesus had told them, and it just didn't come together. Okay? And then we see in verse 25, we'll just jump there. He said to them, Jesus speaks, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I know you've heard the story, most of us that have been to church, and it's an amazing story. It's the longest account of a conversation with Jesus in the Bible after his death, burial, and resurrection. And so he expounds to them, he talks with them about what? In all the scriptures, beginning at Moses and the prophets. Now, who wrote Genesis? Moses, right? And the prophets and the Old Testament. He's sharing with them and explaining to them the things concerning himself. And as they drew near to the village where they were going, verse 28, he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And verse 32, and they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" There was something about this man. Their hearts were like kindled, like their interest had piqued and their understanding began to, they were aware of these things and stories and how it all pointed to this man Jesus who walked with them. And they were so excited that they went back and they told the others. Actually, it says, so they rose up, verse 33, that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they were telling the others, and then, this is the passage that was read, Jesus appears to them in verse 36, and he says, first words, peace be to you. Peace to you. That's pretty important, because they were fearful. Here, Jesus appears, and they were afraid. He said, peace. And I just want to throw this in. You might say, oh, Broken Arrow sounds like an Indian name. You know, it's a symbol of peace. And I mentioned this in the Christian school, that tribes were at war with each other before white people showed up. The evidence is in the ruins and the fact that the ancestors of the Zuni, who live just 15 miles south of the camp, they used to live up on top of rock mesas. And when their enemy would come, they had an advantage because they were up on top of the rock. And they could throw stones down and attack the enemy from above. The cliff dwellers would be another example of that, and so on it goes. It was not peaceful. And so some of the tribes would take their leader, their chief, and they would meet, and they would take an arrow, which they used for war, one of their weapons of war, and they would break the shaft of the arrow, symbolizing peace with the other tribe. And that would last for a year or two, or maybe a few weeks, and they'd be at war again. Very interesting. So I like the name Broken Arrow because it's a symbol of peace. And we can point out the fact that we can find peace with God through Jesus Christ. And the Creator of all things and us intended to have a relationship with us that was beautiful, like Adam and Eve in the garden. And that relationship was broken because of our sin, their sin. And ours too now today. And there's sin that we are all around us and in us. But praise God that that sin, God made it possible for us to be forgiven. And that is only through Jesus, the Son of God, who died for our sins on the cross. He's the only acceptable sacrifice because he's God who died for us as a man. Praise God for that message, that we can have peace with God again. That's the message of Broken Arrow Bible Ranch. I know it's the message of Galt Bible Church. And Jesus says, peace to you, because they were terrified. And he shows his hands. We know the story with Thomas and his feet. And we see here that he goes on. It's interesting. We'll just look at one more thing. In verse 44, he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Wow, sounds kind of similar to what happened to the two on the road to Emmaus. Now he expounds to them again, and their understanding is opened. Wow. You see, the important thing I want to point out here is God is the one that opens our understanding. And we can share the scriptures, and we know that God's word is what God uses, but it is God that opens the heart. And if you look just a few pages later in John chapter 3, we know that Jesus said to Nicodemus in verse 3, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand that. He said, why? I've already been born. How can you be born again? And Jesus said, you must be born of water, which is being born the first time, and born of the Spirit, born of God. And that's a work of God that happens to everyone who believes. It's a miracle of God to be born of the Spirit. And that's what we do as missionaries, to proclaim the Word of God, to share the truth of God, to let God work in hearts and open their minds, open their understanding so they recognize their need of a Savior. And that's, I pray, has happened to you. It happened to me when I was 9 years old, and I remember it distinctly. Now, you might not remember a particular time you prayed a particular prayer. That's not the important thing. But you come to the place where you have believed that Jesus is your personal Savior. And that's the message we share. It was for Anne. She was out. What road was it? Peltier, Campo, Barella. Anyway, she was riding along the road or out in the field, thinking about the gospel. How did she hear the gospel from the Bible? It was a neighbor. It was the Gibsons. Don Gibson had invited his neighbor to come to church. His neighbor was Ann's dad, Vic Lovelace. And so Vic Lovelace said, "Hey, we're going to church today." They went to Grace Church of Lockford that Sunday, and they heard the gospel. And it was Mattingly, actually. Sorry, I had the wrong name. Pastor Mattingly said, "I have something I'd like to show you." Was it in your home or at the church? In your home. A slide presentation. This is old school slides, okay? You know, I have slides of the Romans Road I want to share with your family. And Pastor Mattingly went to the Lovelace home and shared the Romans Road. And that was the introduction to something that God was going to do. Praise the Lord. And so it was later, as Anne was riding her horse, she was thinking about the Romans Road and her need of a Savior, and she believed that Jesus was her Savior on a horse. And so we have horses at Broken Arrow Bible Ranch. Sometimes people say camp. That's fine. But we have horses, and Anne uses horses. Every camper gets to ride, no extra cost. They all get to go and ride the trail, and it's an opportunity to build relationships. And that's the thing about camp, is it puts you in a setting where you don't have distractions and where campers come and you can focus. You can focus on getting to know them, get to know their name, and have a great time, ride horses. Praise God, we have the go-kart track. It's all fresh and new. It's paved, bumper rails. It's really great. And we have archery, you know, the Broken Arrows still exist. Most of them are good, though. And all these activities that we play, but it's part of tools in camping that we use to share the gospel. As they hear the gospel in chapel and they see it lived in our lives, it changes. And God speaks to them, and God does a work in their life. And I praise God that over the years there have been so many that have come to know Jesus as Savior at camp. It's a great place. That's why I do camping. You can tell, right? Still, at 56 years old. So, by the grace of God, He's put us there. But now, if you look at your bulletin, you don't have to, but you'll see three things. I'd like to just kind of tie things together with these last three things. You might say that is the strangest outline I ever saw. But the first one is a puzzle. A puzzle. You say, what's that about? When we have spent time with these little Navajo kids that come to Oakview Bible Church on Tuesday evenings at 6 o'clock, how are we going to share the puzzle? You'd say the story, okay? Just transfer that. It's like a puzzle. And it doesn't have to be too complicated, but you know, a puzzle takes some time, doesn't it? You don't just put a 500-piece puzzle together. Anne likes puzzles. So I thought, I'll be really nice and get her a puzzle that was from the Dollar Tree, a $1 puzzle. In fact, there were three in there. And so she picked one, and she couldn't get the border together. It was the craziest thing that the pieces weren't fitting quite right, but nothing seemed to fit right. It was a cheap puzzle. And so I came, this was last December or something, after the winter retreat. We were exhausted, and we thought, oh, let's do a puzzle today. One of the rare days where we can ever do a puzzle. And I finally helped her. Working together, we got the border. I had to get the border of the puzzle together. That's kind of a picture, the puzzle of maybe getting to know a little bit about God. And so in our Bible study, we're using the Awana Truth Seekers. That's their missions in recent times, in the last 5-10 years. They put together what New Tribe's mission has been doing, reaching unreached people groups, and they have called it Truth Seekers. It starts in the beginning. The puzzle starts with God, right? In the beginning, God. He created. He made us. He made everything. He's powerful. He made things out of nothing. And on we go through the story of the Bible. The puzzle's coming together. Try to get that border in. But it wasn't done yet. So we had to get all the pictures. And we picked one we liked the picture. So you start putting, you know, ever done a puzzle that's all one color? I don't know who would be insane enough to do that. But I know they have them. The challenge, maybe. But I like the picture. So there were some parts of the picture. Anne was saying, this is just not fitting. That was a cheap puzzle. But it makes a good illustration. And we finally got it right. But you know, a lot of people get it wrong. And they put together a puzzle that is not what was intended. And so they're seeing God in a different light. And they're hearing different voices. And maybe the Bible is not interpreted properly. Or maybe they use other books that people have written, and it's all confused. In our area, it's true. A lot of people, they have heard what they call the full gospel. There's full gospel churches in our area. The most predominant evangelical Protestant churches on the Navajo Reservation is full gospel. They're like Pentecostal. Okay? You kind of know what that is. And they hear you can lose your salvation when you sin every time. And so they have to get saved over and over. And they never really are sure of their salvation. Well, that would be a part of the puzzle that's maybe misconstrued. We tell the campers, you can know for sure, based on God's word, on what God said, that you're sure of your salvation. Not based on what we do, but what God has done. And so we share verses, like 1 John 5:13. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know, not I hope so. Trust God. That's faith, isn't it? So that's what we teach. Here's the puzzle. I could go on and on with illustrations, but trying to get that puzzle put together right as we share. So that's what we're doing on Tuesday nights. It takes time. But we know that some of these kids might not be there the next week. So we always point to the cross, to Jesus. A little bit, every time. And I know you do that in Awana too. That's great, because some of the kids that were there last year are not there this year. Why? Social service came to their home and said, you're not making it to school here at this house. You have to go to boarding school. They make them go to boarding school. And some of the boarding schools, they won't let you in. You can't share a Bible class there. Like at Chichilta, where that little church is, they don't let us into the boarding school to share Bible stories. At another boarding school, at Fort Defiance, they will. So it depends on their rules, administrators and stuff. So that puzzle is so important. I don't know what you put by that one. Maybe you just drew a little puzzle. But it's getting the picture right. You could put that down. That works. Getting the picture right. And then the next one you can see is a clothesline. But what does that have to do with sharing the gospel and sharing this story? As Jesus shared to the two on the road to Emmaus, to the disciples later, what does that have to do with that? Well, how many of you have ever hung your clothes on a line? You old ones? Or maybe you're trying to save money, you know, the dryer uses a lot of juice. The first time we hung things up in New Mexico, we're over 7,000 feet high. So it gets cold. This time of year, it's already freezing at nights. And it probably was the fall, I don't know. We got out there and we had no dryer. So we hung everything out and it started getting dark. It gets cold fast. So we pulled in all the laundry. We thought it was dry and it warmed up. and it was still wet. It hadn't dried. Remember that? But we hung it out and hung it out. I didn't hang it out, but it wasn't just hodgepodge all different weird ways. You know, you put the socks together, and you put the underwear together, and you put the shirts together, It's all lined out, and it's getting a whole picture. That way you can kind of fold it up better, and it's organized. And really, that's important in looking at God's Word, not to have a little bit here, a little bit there. And unfortunately, a lot of people, that's how they know God's Word. It doesn't all tie together very well. It's so hodgepodge and messed up. To look at the whole picture is really important. And so that's what the clothesline's about. We're trying to do that as we share God's Word, to get a big picture. And I know you can put it in a nutshell. One of the things we work on in staff training is to share your testimony. That is huge. How can you share your testimony clearly to these campers that are all confused? In a short period of time. You know, I went forward in Vacation Bible School, and I prayed a prayer, and now I know Jesus. Is that it? That might be a part of what happened, but it's not real clear on the gospel. And so we try to make it very clear. And so that's something, as staff, we work on as we share with the campers. But then you can take it and kind of lay it out on the clothesline more clearly as you go along through the week. And as God does His work, and the camper is born of the Spirit if they truly believe. And that's a wonderful thing that can happen. But the third one is pickles and pie. We have, in New Mexico, we have green chilies. Green or red is our motto. And the green chili is different than anywhere else. It's wonderful. From down the Rio Grande River, down towards Las Cruces, there's Hatch. And the Hatch chilies are these green, and they roast them. Oh, after camp is over in August and early September, they have these roasters outside of Walmart and Safeway. And oh, you can smell the roasting chili peppers. So good. And you know what someone tried? They were having dessert, and they thought, Miss Apple Pie could use a chili on it. They put chili on almost everything. And the chili on the pie, on the apple pie, wasn't so bad. So they actually put in chili with the apples in the apple pie, and it put ice cream on top, of course. It was amazing. You get it just the right mix. Not too much chili, but just a little to give it a zing. So chili apple pie is so good. That's a good mix. But pickles and pie, there's some pickles that are pretty, I wouldn't put them in my pie. And, you know, it's good to know the combinations and get them right. A lot of people take the Bible and they have their, you know, their bandwagon, you might say. This is my bandwagon. And they talk about that all the time. Maybe they only talk about the love of Jesus, the love of God. And that's a truth in the Scriptures. It's very clear. It's amazing. But they never talk about the other side of the coin, that God is just and that God must punish sin. And so they only get one side of the equation, and that's imbalanced. That would be pickles and pie. And we do that so often. Instead of having a balanced, full picture, and just a couple things with that, it's important to have... I wrote it down here. Oh, yes. It's important to have these three things properly aligned, or we'll get catastrophic results. And that is true all around the world. As I grew up a missionary kid, it was true in the Middle East. It's true in Navajo land, in the Indian country around where we live. It's true right here in Galt. Is a lot of people... You know, they worship God on Saturday. It's their distinctive. But they make the second commandment, let's say, a thing of works. And other churches, they might say, well, let's just talk about grace all the time. You know, that's what we need. Yes, it is. Absolutely. But they don't talk about, you know, sin. And so it can get misconstrued. You have people that their faith is based on works. And unfortunately, many, not just Catholics, but even those that are are, you might say, Protestant and so on, they're basing their faith on works, and it's so sad. So that's those three things, you know, that I wanted to point out in getting it right. And that's our prayer, that we'll get it right as we share the good news, the gospel, with the people God has called us to. And realize that the work is God's. We tell the staff, you know, relax. Just relax. Because God's going to do His work in a life, but just be faithful. And if no one in your cabin trusts in Christ, that's fine. Maybe the timing wasn't right there, but some seed was planted. Some seed was watered. God gives the increase in His perfect time and way. Just be faithful. And that's been our prayer over the years. And by the grace of God, we have seen many come to know Him, grow and follow Him with their lives. Others have become shipwrecked, and, you know, that's life. But we want to be faithful as many years as God puts us there. Someone asked me, I was your pastor, what's your retirement plan? That's a good question. We think about it. You know, we've been there 27 years. It's a year at a time. It's a day at a time. But maybe God, you know, I don't want to stay there and kind of, you know, how when people outstay their, you know, their effective years, they don't want to be in the way. And I realize in camping it takes a lot of energy. Thank God I have a lot of good people with energy. You know, it takes a lot of youthfulness if you're working with youth. We work with youth all summer long. It's what we do. We work with adults and families and all ages all the rest of the year. But, you know, until the time God leads us to the next thing, you know, it's good to think about those things. And, you know, at this point, we just take it a year at a time and praise God for what He's doing and try to plan ahead until He calls us home. And since I've been here, there's been some great people that I knew and you and you knew that are now in heaven. I stayed with Orville, and whenever I came here, he played his tuba and trombone, he played several instruments. I stayed in his house, where you're staying, right? And it was an interesting house. He had all his instruments in his living room, all covered up, I shouldn't say this, covered up with sheets to keep the dust off. And he'd pull it off, he'd be practicing, you know, at 9 at night, and weird times. And it was great, great times with Orville. But he's with the Lord now. But he had a heart for the Lord, and he played his trombone, so Ann played her flute, and I played my trumpet. Dennis Powers played his trombone, and on it goes. We all played in this Sunday evening little band. You probably remember that back in the day, but that was part of what God used to bring us together, and in those good days back then. But these are good days now, and I appreciate the songs you led in and did hear, and they aren't the same songs, some of them, that were done years ago. And praise the Lord. They're wonderful worship songs. And that's the same thing we do at our camp. The important thing is the heart. We all need Jesus. And we share the Word of God as clearly as possible and leave the results to Him. And He gives the increase. So that's my message this morning. Gone a little over, but it's not 11:30 quite yet. So it's okay. I'm good to go to 12:30. Okay. Well, you know, missionaries are sometimes known for going too long. I don't want to be one of those. But why don't we pray and just thank the Lord for this morning. Heavenly Father, again, I come to You and I praise You and thank You that Ann and I could return and share a report here at Galt Bible Church. I thank You for these people again, for their heart for missions, for the different missionaries that they support, this church supports, and for their faithfulness. And I know Ira Ransom was one who's now with You. And Lord, it's until You take us home or You come again, we want to be faithful. And thank You for calling us, Ann and I, to Indian country. I thank You for the dear people that we know there. And I pray that we would be faithful, that we would do our very best to share this good news as clearly as possible. And we know that You will give the increase. And so we praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.